I am a very direct kind of gal, as Andrew can probably attest to. I'm not always here to tell you what you want me to tell you, or what you think I'm going to tell you, or what you may want to hear, or what's easy to hear. I'm here to support you. And sometimes what that means is I'm going to shoot you straight and share my point of view. And sometimes that's hard for me to say, but it's the thing that's going to help you. And it's never in the spirit of being rude or obnoxious or demeaning. It's really meant to help you understand blind spots that you may not realize. So our conversation today may be in the spirit of some of that. And so I want everyone joining us for this discussion to buckle up.
I think it's terribly important to insist on individual values.
Learning Culture Podcast.
Initiative, creation, all these things which we value. It's now possible to make organizations on a larger scale than was ever possible before.
Learning Culture Podcast.
Teach people to analyze the kind of things that are said to them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Learning Culture Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Barry, and this is the end of season one. So, joining me for this very, very special episode is a very, very special friend of mine, Amy Vollis. Amy is the founder of Avenue Talent Partners, where she helps early stage SaaS startups hire executive sales and CS leaders. She's an incredible follow on LinkedIn, and she's become an incredible friend to me. I truly believe that the answers we're looking for lie behind the truth, and Amy helps me see the truth. And in this special episode, we're going to flip the script, and she is putting me in the hot seat. For a little bit of background, Amy and I have been talking on and off this whole year, and it became a case of her kind of helping me a little bit with positioning for Curious Lion. And in exchange, I was helping her think about a pretty cool podcast project that she's got on the go. So in this episode, we thought, let's make those private conversations public and share with you in live real time. So we had no idea what was going to happen, what those conversations are about, and really kind of continue them. So in this episode, you will learn what the most common mistake is for any founder or salesperson for that matter. You will learn how what you know doesn't earn trust, how you show up does. You'll learn the difference between talking with a prospect or talking at a prospect. And you will learn about the six reasons people take action. This was an action-packed episode, and it was probably the most vulnerable episode I've ever done. I went there, ladies and gents. I put myself out there. Amy and I had no idea what we were going to do, and it showed in, I think, how raw and honest the conversation went. So if you're a fan of Amy, if you're a fan of the show, you're going to absolutely love this episode. Last thing I'll say, as I said at the beginning, this is the end of season one. I gave Amy some advice for her podcast to not do seasons, and this season has been a year long. I had to listen to my own advice, and we're going to bring this to a close with this episode. We're going to take a break through the rest of the summer where we might share some clips and highlights from the first season. And we're going to be coming back with an absolute banger of a season two. I tease it out a little bit in this episode, and you will know if you follow me on LinkedIn, kind of where my head's at and where we are moving things forward with Curious Lion and our specialization or focus on sales teams. So I'm really excited to share more about that when we get there. But for now, please sit back, relax, and enjoy my episode with Amy Vollis. Amy, welcome to the show.
Andrew, thank you for having me. This has been a work in progress of me peer pressuring you to be on it. So thank you.
Exactly. And a long time coming. I think this is, you kind of gave me shit actually when we were talking about, so you, for the listeners, you approached me, I mean, you and I chat on and off this whole year. And one of those chats was about a podcast. You're launching one. I shared some of the experience. I've been doing this for a couple of years now. And in that, you gave me a bit of shit around the fact that I said to you, you know, like, you should do this in seasons, you should break it up. Like, and you're like, well, why aren't you doing that? You know? And so, and that was like, that was one of many, which we'll get to today. Holy shit moments that you've kind of thrown on my plate in the last few months, which have been awesome. And so here we are, this is it. This is the final episode of
the 1 year long season one of the Learning Culture podcast.
The longest season ever. Look at you breaking records. I'm here for it.
Now you try to do that.
You know, I will not be doing that. So note to self, that will be a no for me. But I think it should be said for the listeners that I am a very direct kind of gal, as Andrew can probably attest to. And the thing that I really enjoyed about us is I saw you in the wild. I really like what you talk about. I like how you think about it. Your background is super impressive. And I felt like we should be friends beyond just engaging with each other's content, as it were.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, well said.
We've had these conversations, and I think what listeners may not be prepared for is part of the backdrop of us being good to each other and being friends, and how I approach my relationships is I'm not always here to tell you what you want me to tell you, or what you think I'm going to tell you, or what you may want to hear, or what's easy to hear. I'm here to support you. And sometimes what that means is I'm going to shoot you straight and share my point of view. And sometimes that's hard for me to say, but it's the thing that's going to help you. And it's never in the spirit of being rude or obnoxious or demeaning. It's really meant to help you understand blind spots that you may not realize. So our conversation today may be in the spirit of some of that. And so I want everyone joining us for this discussion to buckle up for safety, because this is how we roll in the scene. So why not be the same way in front of the scenes?
That's exactly it. And I can tell it's already going to be like that. So, and this is gonna be fun, because like you and I have had these kind of back and forth for a bit now. And I genuinely, so you, part of that, you know, I helped you think through some of the planning with your team for your podcast. You helped me thinking through some of the positioning that we were doing around sales enablement. And for those longtime listeners will know, it's kind of a new vertical, and it actually was a realization that I had from our conversation. I was always thinking of it as kind of this evolution of where we were. And then you showed me in our conversation that I didn't understand it that well. And that's because we've only been doing it for like 8 months, maybe max. And what it really is a new vertical. And it's like, I had a lot of realizations came with that I hadn't even built out my first vertical properly. You know what I mean? Like there's tons that we've left on the table there. We work mainly with talent development, enterprise size clients. And I'm coming to you saying, oh, we're working with sales teams at like early stage startup level. You know, like it was so and you really kicked me in the ass to say like, hey, like, you know, what are you doing here? So we're going to unpack that. We're also going to unpack kind of where we're at now. Like you're going to kind of put me on the hot seat, I think, a little bit, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And like, we're going to dig into that, basically pick up the conversations you and I have had. And again, like this is the end of season one. So this is the last episode. We're going to take a break for the rest of the summer, and we're going to come back with the new stuff. And today you're going to kind of get a flavor for some of that new stuff. And Amy's going to beat it to shit.
No, I'm not. I'm just going to help you put the cherry on top of the stuff. So it's like a fierce magnet for your ideal customer profile. Are we ready to put you in the hot seat?
Yeah, let's do this.
Because that begs the first question. So for the listeners, to give you a little bit of context for where I'm going with this. So as Andrew and I were talking, we were just trying to figure out, what does the other person do? Is there any sort of connective tissue there for how we might be useful to each other? How can we really support each other? And learning more about what the other person was really up to beyond what you can see on the interwebs. And so I will never forget. Andrew was like, can I show you? I'm like, sure, please do. And the thing that I think happens when this happens is you're so in it. And it feels very personal. It is personal with your business, that in that moment of, can I show you? It's hard to realize the things that somebody like me can see like that, which is one of my superpowers, is to be able to look at something and quickly translate. This makes sense. This doesn't make sense. This is what it looks like. This is what it doesn't look like. And so I think that certainly happened with us, and I'll never forget. So Andrew comes rolling in and he's like, guess what? So Andrew and I have a fun, we have a lot of common ground, but one of the things is both of our spouses are CPAs, and they have other talents that help us do our business as well. And I will never forget, you were like, so guess what? My wife also is wicked talented with graphic design and putting stuff together. And she created this amazing presentation, this amazing deck of what we do. Mm-hmm. Cool. Can I show it to you? Of course. I'm going to say yes. Right.
Right.
And I'm excited. And while it looked beautiful, I remember thinking to myself, what on earth am I reading here? And so that is where this starts. So Andrew, for those listening that are trying to figure out their first version, let alone their second version, let's go back into that moment. And when you were thinking about that, and forget about the feedback that I gave you yet, we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
How were you thinking about all of the things in your mind to put it on paper as a way of engaging with your potential customers? What went into that process that you showed me?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a really important lesson that in this, I've learned it now, and I think I'm going to try and articulate that to people. So it's also hard to not bring what I know now into this. So I'm going to, you know, talk a little bit about that. But I think what I realized I was doing, what I did there was my identity and my personal passion, like I can do this forever, like learning about learning and just getting into the weeds and like figuring stuff out and creating, you know, continuous learning systems that are just indestructible, you know, like, but that idea is my personal pursuit and it's interesting to me. And there's parts of it that are interesting to other people, et cetera, et cetera. But it is not the core of what my business does. And so when I'm having this conversation with you and I'm saying, this is what we do, I'm giving you the 500 page book version of this stuff, right? Like it's everything, every corner covered, every like thing thought about, every objection handled. And it's just so over intellectualized as well, I think, right? There was so much in there. It was nicely, like, my wife does a great job of turning that into something slightly readable, but it was just so over intellectual. What I wasn't doing was giving you, and we ended up going back to do this now, I wasn't giving you how our clients see it. Like I wasn't, you know, and the weird thing is I was always uncomfortable with just settling for what our clients want. Like it'll often come down to, at least at the beginning, they'll be like, hey, we want a training. We need an onboarding. You know, we need this e-learning done. And I'm like, no, we do way more than that. You know, we're going to transform your entire learning culture. And they're like, what? Okay, maybe you're not the right fit for us. You know what I mean? And I was trying to give you that whole boil the ocean thing instead of just like, this is the core of what we do and who we do it for.
So there's something interesting in that that I want to dig into that hopefully will be helpful for anybody else listening to this. When you're putting together materials for anybody else to see, especially people that aren't in your business, but people that you want to do business with, people that you want to get something from, people that you want to spend time, is when you make it all about you and the language you speak, you start losing them. And the thing that you said, Andrew, that I think is really interesting is when I was putting it together, it's what we knew that they needed. And we were trying to boil the ocean. And, you know, I know for me, I might need what you have and you might see it very clearly, but if I'm not ready for it and you make it difficult for me to understand, it doesn't matter how much you can help me. It doesn't matter how much value you have. It doesn't matter who else you've done it with. I don't understand. And when you're not clear, I'm not clear. And if you're not clear in your ability to understand my terms and how I think and where I am and what's important to me, the rest becomes moot. And that was a big backdrop of that conversation that we had. And I called it the so what factor. You are very brilliant individual. You are smart. You are accomplished. You think about things with a depth and breadth and not just this one little thing right now, right here. And I think if I go back into that moment and I see sometimes you do this to this day, and we all do, especially when it's so close and you want to help and you know you can, and you've been in this world and you see this opportunity, but when you see something that somebody else hasn't seen yet and you put it upon them and they're not ready to receive it yet, it's kind of like giving me unsolicited advice that I didn't ask for. And yeah, that's the thing of that so what factor is distilling it in terms and ways that make it easy, leaving them wanting more. Because I remember you gave me, it was like slide after slide after slide after slide of stuff that you could do, and you lost me after the first slide. Yeah. And the thing is, yeah, when you're doing business with somebody else, let me guide you to ask for more. You don't have to give me everything. You have to just give me enough that gets my little baby eyebrow raised in the best, most possible way. Mm. And then take you on the journey from my end versus your end to my end. Mm. How do you feel about that? I can see you because you're looking the same way that you did when we talked about it the first time.
like a deer in the headlights. That's exactly what it was. And I always feel like I'm compelled to give everything, to say like, it is a little, you know what it is? It's a little bit of like, look how smart I am. Like, I've thought of everything, you know, like I'm not like willing to just give that little bit. Cause I feel like then I'm selling myself short. You know what I mean? And so that's what it is. It's like a lot of like, I got to come and prove myself. And it's just, I've realized now it just completely overwhelms and just ends the conversation basically.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I heard a version of it somewhere else, and it's really stuck with me. What you know doesn't earn trust. How you show up does. Ultimately, when you're doing business with somebody and you are asking them for their time, for their trust, for their commitment, for their money, that is based upon the trust that you establish, giving them peace of mind and confidence and trust in your ability to do these things. And for me, at least, when trust is earned, it's not you having to prove how smart you are, it's showing me that you care about understanding me, taking me on a journey to connect those dots for what's top of mind for me. For the, you know, I believe that there are six reasons why people engage, you know. So one is you help them solve a problem. That's the easy stuff. Everybody talks about that. The other is you help them reach a goal. You help them get better. You help them pinpoint a blind spot that they weren't otherwise aware of. You help them be the hero of their story, not yours. And you help them reduce or remove risk. And so, you know, to do that, you actually have to really be in tune. And it's kind of like that thing that so many founders do. You know, the work that I do, and for anybody listening, I own a search firm, and I work with founders all the time to help them hire. And I help them hire sales and CS leaders. And most of the time working with a technical founder, their language is not the same language, and that's okay. But it's kind of like that founder that did the founder-led selling that needs somebody to hire now because it's not working the way that they want it. They got it so far, they can't get it to the next level. Most of the time it doesn't work so well is they show up to a conversation. This also happens in sales, by the way, all the time. Mm-hmm. I get sold to all the time. This is stuff that's gross, but it's like, I show up with a demo or a deck and I feature dump hoping that something sticks. And in that moment, it makes me feel safe to show you everything that I know because you'll be impressed or enamored with that. And here's the thing, Andrew, I'm not in your business. I don't do business with you. And I can tell you very confidently that you are a very intelligent person, but it's sound bites to say, wait, here's how I'm thinking about our conversation today. I could help you in 50 different ways. You said this was important to you. Is that still the case? They say, yes. now you can exercise some of that and sprinkle some of that on versus let me open up Pandora's box and show you the whole world and expect that you're going to have a compass to a new world that you've never seen to know where you're going. They don't.
Yeah. No, this resonates a lot. And it's one of the things I've been thinking about since then is that I mentioned earlier, like my identity and kind of my interests and then the needs of my business, they were too closely intertwined. And I've now got a healthy separation there where I see Curious Lion as something separate. And there's almost like an interface with the world difference between those two, right? In what you're saying and how I show up as the founder of Curious Lion and how Curious Lion shows up is in this more, it needs to be in this more empathetic, more there for the listener, more like trying to solve problems for them. And then in my own personal capacity, I can do the one to many stuff of writing and speaking and podcasting where I get to show how much I know, you know, like, and I can still do that to my heart's content and doesn't, you know, people can read it or not. And I think that was kind of also a healthy thing. Now I can continue to, you know, to me that all that other stuff is the way that I develop my thinking. And it's great. I can do that. And it's not, you know, people can consume it if they want, but I have to show up totally differently. And that's why I love that you say that. It's the trust part is how you show up. The what you know is like almost your credibility, right? And you build that body of work over time. But the trust, like you said, it's how you show up. And I have to show up differently as, you know, the founder and kind of chief business development person for Curious Lion.
Well, and your competency will come through, right? You don't have to prove it.
Right.
It's kind of like the smartest person in the room is the most quiet.
Yeah.
They don't have to prove it. They just are. And you are. You don't have to prove it. The actions always speak louder than the words. And I think about the concept of talking with versus talking at. And thinking about what you put together, right? Like that initial deck. In that so what factor, the question I ask myself whenever I prepare a material in any way, shape, or form is, and you know, I have this Better Together community and it's all about career coaching. And a lot of it has to do with I'm interviewing, what do I do? And resumes come up all the time. And it's like, you basically threw up everything from the time you were in the womb till now on a piece of paper, on five pieces of paper. People spend about 10 seconds looking at this. And when you have, and think about a busy executive, right? They've got a lot of competing priorities. Same thing when they're in a buying motion with you, regardless of what you're selling or what you're doing or how you can help. And I think about it this way, is what you're sharing with me an invitation for a conversation? Because any sort of deck or material should be a sizzle reel that's an invitation for a conversation to dig in further to confirm or deny if what you're doing together makes sense or not. So you don't have to give, it's kind of like that first date analogy, right? Like, it's like you go on a first date and you tell the person like, so I want to be married in 6 months and I want to have 10 kids and I want to have this. And it's like, well, I just want to see if I like you.
Exactly. You know, actually now that now that we're getting into this, another thing that was coming up for me in this, and so you said this idea of like throw everything and see and hope that something sticks, right? And that's definitely what part of what I did. And I think one of the reasons for that is honestly like a little bit of imposter syndrome. You know, I showed up there, like I look up to you as someone who is like a leader, a thought leader, a proven leader, all these things in the space of sales. And so
thank you.
I'm coming there with this like 8 months worth of experience in this new vertical and I'm trying to make a good impression. And so I just threw the book at you and hoped that everything would stick. And it's kind of like, I mean, it's vulnerable to think about this, but that's exactly what was happening at the time. There wasn't really in retrospect a lot of hope that it was going to stick.
And you know, here's the thing. People don't expect perfection. By the way, thank you. I heart you, but people don't expect perfection, Andrew. They expect honesty. And that last statement, that was hard for you to say out loud, right? And I know how hard to say this out loud. That last statement endears me even more to you because it was real.
Mm.
And when we talked, it was like, I was as intimidated of you as you were of me, of like, oh my gosh, this dude is really smart and he comes from these really interesting companies that you can't be an idiot to work there. And I'm going to sound like an idiot myself. Like, we all have those little inner voices, right? And we had a very real discussion. Why we are still here today together is, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. But it was that thing of the second that we got off script was the second where I saw your care, I saw your thoughtfulness, and I saw your competency, because I was poking holes. I'm like, so what? And you know what? What became visible to me was, sometimes when we are the expert in what we do, right? I'm an expert in what I do. You're an expert in what you do. And you're in your industry. You start absorbing everything about that industry, all of the acronyms, all of the jargon, all of the language. And if you remember when we talked, I was like, when you come back to me, because we had a follow-up conversation, I said,
Yeah. I went and I had homework.
You did. And I was like, you are not allowed to use jargon. You have to cut that out. We did a virtual Toastmaster. I went through Toastmasters way back in the career. And if you said filler words, you'd get a bell. Well, in my interpretation of taking that analogy and using this here, it wasn't even about filler words. It was about jargon. So every time it was like, you know, and you didn't use this word, but I'm just going to use it. Everybody uses it. Synergy. That is like nails on the chalkboard, because it doesn't tell me anything. So you saying the word sales enablement amongst a world where people haven't even defined what that word means. Sometimes people think it's sales ops. Sometimes people think it's just training. Sometimes people think it's an admin role. They don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
So you using that term isn't universal. And so that was the thing of like, what is the so what factor? Who is this for? Why should they care? And when you connect on that level, you can change the world. You can disrupt.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a book about this called Crossing the Chasm.
Yeah.
You know, you've got early adopters, and the world is not riddled with early adopters. And when you're trying to shake up something that people haven't thought of before, you need to spend time with early adopters, but then you have laggards. And each one of those, you know, each one of those points on the crossing the chasm scale has a different way that you show up and deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of thoughts also from this. So I think when we were having that conversation as well, one of the things that I realized, more in retrospect, I realized that I was bringing all of that jargon from the first 5 years of my business of talent development work and all that into the sales world that I didn't know too well. And so I can see it completely missed the mark, because it was just so new, right? And it didn't fit. And you kind of helped me see that. And I think the positive, this is maybe we can take this to kind of the solution or kind of the next iteration of this, is where you kept hammering on this thing you said just now, who's it for? Why do they care? And I kind of really went back and thought hard about that. And the biggest shift I had was, one other thing I want to say before I get into the shift is the sales enablement thing as well, right? It's so poorly defined. It's so new. It's so badly understood. I thought I saw an opportunity there to kind of help shape that conversation and bring structure to it. But again, like we said, I overcomplicated it and overwhelmed it a little bit too much. And so I'm talking to people on sales enablement. What I've realized that actually the most important thing, and the thing that I can speak to, because we've been doing this for 5 years now, is to leaders, like frontline leaders, all the way up to executive leaders. But I was completely ignoring those frontline leaders. But actually, you know, we're a company that creates learning programs, create learning experiences. Our like end user is mostly frontline leaders. That's the people we know the best, you know? And so that changed everything. I'm like trying to sort of sell this at a high level. All my content on LinkedIn was all about like how to create enablement programs, you know, like the administration side of things. And I wasn't just actually solving the problem of the people that we get paid to solve problems for. You know what I mean? And that, so that changed everything. And that's basically what I've been thinking about ever since.
And could you imagine, what do you think, let me ask you this. What do you think would be the difference of today had we not had that conversation? What would you look like right now? What would you be thinking of? What would it be?
Yeah. I would have made a more complicated version of that diagram. I would have added complexity. I would have written countless essays on it. I thought that the answer to my troubles was to go deeper into down the rabbit hole, was to go deeper. Like I would go and read more books on this stuff. I would go, you know, like just think about it harder, right? So I thought if I could just think harder, I would get to the answer. But what I was doing was just banging my head against a wall. And one, the most practical thing I took away from our conversation was just go talk to my freaking clients. Like, go talk to them. Like, what are they, why are they paying us? Why are they still with us? Most of them, many of them have been with us for 3-4 years. Why? And so we did that. And that, you know, for about 2 weeks or so, my team went off and all of them, the clients they worked with, they went and got a bunch of feedback and they came back and they were like, it was very consistent. It was very clear. They come to us that because we help turn their complexity into engaging learning experiences. We do it in a way that's very creative and innovative. It's always fully customized. We are, they think of us as partners. Like we're there to like really help them get these things over the line. And they like our team. Like we're quite fun to work with. We've got a vibe. And that was it. And like, I've like railed against that to say like, oh, but we're so much more. We're so much more. But that is a lot. You know, like these clients love the teams that they work with. And almost thankfully, I'm not involved in that anymore because I probably would have overcomplicated and kind of fucked it up for people, you know, but like they're out there doing their thing and doing a great job and our clients love it. And I finally took time to sit and listen to that feedback. And it was, you know, it was eye opening.
And so it's interesting what you think somebody needs versus what they tell you they value.
Right. Right. And we don't ask, right? Like we don't ask. It's just so bizarre to me. And I mean, I did it, but I think we all do it. And it's the easiest thing to do.
Well, it's like assuming, right? When you think about assumptions, yeah. In my opinion, assumptions leave so much opportunity behind. And I remember when I started my company and it's like, wait, executive search firms are a dime a dozen. Like they're all over the place. And lots of people talk about what I do. But to your point of what you saw for your business, where it's like, I saw an opportunity. I imagined this in a different way. I've proven this, that it works in a different way. And you know, the one thing that really helped me, and I remember telling you this, and we need to pay it forward to anybody listening to this. You're not going to be for everyone, and that's okay. Do you know who you are for? And when you know who you are for, it makes life a lot easier. Because for me, I have plenty of people that I can talk to you about all of the fancy things I know and all the lessons I've learned and all the mistakes I've made and why I've taken the time to learn them and how I've mastered it and my methodology and our approach to your success and what makes us different and why this is something that you should do because it's going to help you avoid mishiring and da, 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 all that stuff, right? And I'll still have somebody that just came off of a mishire that's telling me that they've spent at least $2 million cleaning up after this and they need to get this right. And they're like, but I want a butt in a seat yesterday. And, or like whatever it is that, you know, is not really how we roll. And, you know, I don't assume that they're not the right person in that moment. I'll qualify a bit to understand it. And if we're still at odds of the way that they want to work and what they need, it doesn't matter whether I can help them or not. They're not my person. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And so when you think about, you know, putting your manifesto together, which is how I looked at what you gave me. It was like a manifesto, like this is what we're all about. There was a reason why I gave you that homework of these are the questions that you need to answer. Who are we for? What do we do? Why are we doing it? Why should they care? How do we do it? And you could only have like two or three sentences to each one of these things. It can't be this whole manifesto. And if you can't answer it, or it sounds like everybody else because it's riddled with jargon, it's not going to matter. It'll matter to you. It won't matter to anybody else. So it's like you were a breath of fresh air coming back out of that because you took it really seriously, which I love you for. It helped you get clear. Like, you know, anybody that listener, you might not know. That's okay. I have a slight obsession with Windex. Like, I love the clean product of Windex. And here's why. I'm in a room right now. You can see behind me. There's windows and there's windows in front of me. There's windows to the side of me. That's also my home office as well. I love me a window. And the reason why I do it is I sit in my chair way too much during the day working. And especially now it's the summertime. I love to look out my window. I have a thing about birds. I'm obsessed with nature. And you'll find me sort of like doing this and I'm gazing out. And it's how I start processing thought. Like, I don't know if you've seen that as we've talked. I'll start doing this. You have my undivided attention, but I'm looking and there's something about nature that like connects my creative side.
Totally.
And if
I do the same.
Of course, the lions in the background, let's be real.
Exactly.
You know, but if all of a sudden I'm looking out my windows and they're riddled with spots and I have a hummingbird coming up, coming in hot. And I can change red, right? Or like it looks brown and it should be red. My window is real dirty. And the only way I can get clear is to get that little Windex bottle, like a little dab will do ya. I love it. I love it in the literal sense of I love a clean window. And I love it in the figurative sense of clarity. If you're not clear, nothing and nobody around you can be clear. And it's not your customer's responsibility to be clear. It's yours.
So this is also reminding me there was, and now I think I've actually pieced together the connection point between where we at now and our conversation. And I left with, there was another big realization from our conversation. I left with that was that especially in sales and especially, and again, at that time as well, I was like, it was high growth tech. That was, you know, I was like convinced because also, I mean, mainly because that was the network that I was in. So I was like, oh, well, obviously, like I know a bunch of people who work in high growth tech. I will, you know, that's the target market. But like, that was so foolish because what I realized is that the priorities of a high growth tech company are very different to, you know, to a lot of other types of companies. And specifically, it's not even necessarily a priority of theirs, but it's just the nature of how these companies are set up and the business model is that there is a strong, strong short-term bias to operating these companies, right? Like it is about quarter to quarter. It's very metrics driven. I mean, there's this urgency to it. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like that is a great thing and it works for a lot of companies and it works for that type of product, especially. But it doesn't work for the type of thing we do. You know, like that kind of a leader in that type of company is going to go like a learning culture, like, you know, maybe kind of get like the benefit of it or whatever, but be like, we just don't have time for that. Like, you know, we don't, we just have to get everyone clear on this methodology. We have to get, you know, da 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 da. And that was a big, big realization. So I started to kind of zero in on this idea of that short-term versus long-term thinking and looking at that as a spectrum. Like actually first I thought of it as to binary. I was like, oh, short-term companies, just get rid of them. We're going to look for all long-term companies. Then I was like, no, hang on. Actually, it's more nuanced than that. It's a spectrum. What we do, we work with companies that want to get more long-term in their thinking, that want to build adaptability, they want to build resilience, that want to build the ability to learn, you know, into their business model. And then that kind of opened up a whole new avenue to explore. And so that's where we sort of, that's where I've been diving off since we spoke.
Well, and keep in mind, you're providing a service to someone and you're not a PLG product that you can take off the shelf and self-serve it. And because of that, you have to have a highly visualized discussion. It's a conversation. It's not a deck. It's not a product. It's taking that time to have a conversation, to talk about. Learning is a very nebulous term.
How I approach
learning in my business could be very, very different than the exact same kind of business next to me because of budget, resources, mentality, mindset around all the stuff, the people that need to learn something, that want, forget about needing to learn something, want to learn it, right? And so so it's that ability to be able to have that so what factor, have that invitation for a conversation, and leave the rest of all this stuff. Like, I remember looking at this, you have models and flywheels and graphs and charts. And I'm like, and I just remember thinking to myself, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. By the way, I grew up in HR tech. L&D was a big part of that in terms of the conversation of, well, once you recruit somebody, then how do you keep them? How do you develop them? What's the career path for them? And learning and helping them be the best version of themselves is a big part of that. I dealt with Fortune brands, right? They have budget for that. They care about that. That's a big thing.
Right.
And I believe that's your target audience as well. So, you know, the thing is, you could talk to Walgreens, for example, and you could talk to CVS, for example, and how they approach learning would be very different. And if you just showed up with that graph, maybe Walgreens will respond to that. CVS is like, we're not even thinking about that yet. And now CVS hears that, or they see that, and you haven't gotten to your 50 other slides. And now they assume that that's exactly what you do, and they turn off and you've lost them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. I also want to make it clear for everyone listening. Like, I'm not saying that companies that are in like high growth stage, like, don't care about learning. I absolutely think
you are.
They do.
You totally said that. Totally kidding. He did not say that.
The lens that I see it now, it's just a different viewpoint. Like, there is definitely a case to be made for getting new hires up to scratch and onboarded. Is like, you do need to hit the baseline. You do need to rely on templates and playbooks and kind of like copy paste culture. But that gets you so far. And that's what I've realized is now there are companies that want to get further than that. They want to go beyond that, develop leaders. They want to future proof themselves. Those are the companies that we work with. Those are the clients that we currently have. Those are the clients that I think we want to work with going forward. And so that was just a massive clarity thing. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, we can hot seat a little bit now if you want. Maybe it's like a way to end this off with where I'm at now in terms of that positioning. And how do you feel about that?
Your new positioning? What you told me in the email before this? Like yesterday or the day before?
Yes, exactly. Exactly that. Yeah. And the difference is that I think one of the big differences is it's not feature first. It's very much problem first. And actually where I'm at and what I'll just do today in like a couple of minutes is I just want to articulate the problem. And if someone resonates with that problem, then I know we can help them. That feels like the right approach here. Like, is that a sensible approach?
Well, do you remember why? Let's go back in the tape a little bit. There are 6 reasons why people take action. You're just focused on the problem. There are 5 other things. And so you might lose somebody else.
That's true.
So sure. That's true. Like, yeah. And now we are in the hot seat. Welcome to what it's really like with Andrew and Amy behind the scenes. I just pulled up the emails. If you see my eyes dart, I'm looking at what you gave me. I saw it before this and I wanted to look at it again.
Cool.
My very first impression of this is you made 2 images and they're very easy to see. Thank you. It wasn't like before, it was like all of a sudden there's like the hypothesis behind the image, behind the thing.
Yeah.
But if I look at it at first glance, and in the spirit of the email, and we're not going to talk about it out loud, was also an opportunity for you and I to think about some things together, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to start there. here's my deal. I would move a mountain to do something with you. I learn from you. You inspire me. You are smart. You think about things in a different way. I love hanging out with people like that. I want to collaborate with people like that. I'm here for that. I would go to the mat for you. Even when you are wearing Jack Nicholson sunglasses, I am here for every single time. You know, and I look at this, and when I think about it from my perspective, so part of this is sharing what you've done, and I appreciate that. And you did a great job of trimming it down. Mm-hmm. But the first thing is you only focused it on the problem. You're not addressing six other opportunities. Because here's the thing, one of the biggest things that companies are thinking about as budgets have tightened up because the economy is doing some interesting things is helping them reduce or remove risk.
Mm-hmm.
And learning, like if you are helping your employees be their best version, for example, it's a lot cheaper to invest in your employees than to lose them, because the number one thing that people are craving is development, is support, is growth. There is stat after stat after stat that talks about this, especially with Generation Z. It's a real big thing for them. I didn't get any of that, right? So like that's one. The bigger thing is behind the scenes without so much context of like, how does it relate to you and I? So let's say like, I'm looking at it from a like, okay, so we're going to do this and I want to do this. How do I fit? I'm still super murky. And it wasn't clear to me of, because you talked about some other people that could fit. I couldn't understand it because when I look at that first slide, right, that you made it easier. So it's like, it's the circles that have the arrows that go around. All you're doing is telling me about mindset and big jargon buzzwords. And I didn't know how to connect that. And then the second slide, I'm looking at this and it's like, okay, so I agree. Like you want to develop technical ability and you want to get out of your own way and you want to go far together. And you have these little things, but these are like, it's kind of like when you talk to a consultant and they tell you, I have a system and my system is called Accelerate. A stands for action. C stands for, you know, courage. Okay. Those are real big terms. Action. Sure. You've got that same kind of concept where it's like, start with why. Great. I'm a Simon Sinek fan too.
Mm.
But that doesn't connect. Like you're telling me this concept, but it doesn't like that's what's missing here is all I need. Like what I want you to do is to be able to take any of these words, right? So like, let's talk about fear for a second. And then let's talk about stewardship. If I'm afraid, I can't be a good steward. If you do your recon on that customer and you realize like, whoa, wait a second. They're losing a lot of their middle managers. And now they're afraid that they're going to lose more. That's what we're talking about here is like meeting that person where they are. Then you can connect stewardship and fear, those two concepts in that. So like, I feel like this is a good internal document for you to understand the different ways that you can meet your buyers where they are. My feedback for you and homework I would give you is for each one of those big terms on that circle and all of the stuff in those three buckets on the second slide, each one of those things, how does it address problem solving, get better, reach goals, pinpoint blind spots, reduce or remove risk? How do you do that? So that when you're talking to your buyer, you don't need to show them anything. You can have a conversation because what you're doing isn't visual. What you're doing is a service. You don't need a deck for that. You don't need a crutch of a visual. You need to show up that you understand them and connect that. So great. You know, you're talking about the fact that you're losing these middle managers and, you know, how can they be stewards of your organization, the rest of your organization, the rest of your sales team to your customer? How are you thinking about that? you're helping them reduce or remove risk there. And you could say, so, you know, one of the modules that we talk about that we have a whole curriculum and program around is around this fear concept that has direct correlation to what you're describing. Should we talk about that more, or do I have it wrong? Now you're getting validation and you're into that. So it's, I think you're spending time on these visuals. Cause for me, I see this and it's like all the stuff that you're talking about happens well after I could ever do anything. So I don't know where I fit. I look at this and it's like, okay, these are all things that like start with what, yeah, I totally care about that, but actionable. Like, how does it fit with me? Why does it fit with me? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop talking because this is me putting Andrew in the hot seat with the most peace and the most love because I want to help you.
It's a very comfortable hot seat. It really is. But it is hard. Here's the thing. Toastmaster over here. So this is all totally making sense to me. I think there's a lot of things. First of all, I should never have put that just as I did in an email. Like there's no context. There's no, like, so it was a lot to ask you. That's probably my biggest lesson. It's a lot to ask you to look at that and go, like, to see where you fit in. It needs a conversation. Like, we could have now, we could have later, but around like how it fits in. And the context for that, and I will include links to those two diagrams for anybody just listening to this so you can kind of see what Amy's talking about. But the context for that is this is the beginning part of a program that we're creating where we need to agitate the problem in a way that it will resonate with people, right? Those eight things or however many that go around there are linked in a kind of a cycle that I think we're all trapped in, right? Which is essentially like, we optimize for the short term. We optimize because of present bias, because of the way businesses are valued. We think we can control everything because we can measure everything. So we go ahead and control and manage everything, but that actually leads to burnout. It also means we're missing some things that we don't, that we can't measure, right? And we'll come back to those, what those things are. Fear perpetuates this, right? Like leaders that are in a fear-based thing make irrational decisions and they go back to short-term and they go back to controlling. So what we do is we reach for yesterday's answers because what else are we going to do? When those don't work, we blame other people. We don't take responsibility for them. I'm speaking in broad terms, but I've definitely done this. This is the key part. Learning stops. As soon as you don't take responsibility for that, learning stops. We then basically remove human intelligence from it. We say, well, we're just going to create a methodology. We're going to write the templates, the talk scripts, the playbooks. We're going to adopt copy-paste culture. And now we're all in, right? Now we just have to commit to this. So we go straight back to present bias and we just get through the quarter and we go short-term to short-term. And my argument is that, yes, that works. It definitely works, but for how long? It's not sustainable. It's not, you can't survive. You can't have a long lasting company with only that. That's going to get you through tough periods. It might get you started, you know, those kind of things. But like eventually you're going to need to think long term. And that's why we got to learn to break out of that trap. And that's where the solution part comes in. The solution part is very like, it is, you'll see in the diagram, the one Amy has, it's like a map and it's, you know, it's all over the place. And it's sort of intentionally so in that there are, I think, a lot of different ways a leader can go. We mapped out, I think, what we think are the most important ones. You know, my conversation with you, Amy, is to figure out, like, I think you have a lot of, there's a lot, like, especially around alignment and culture fit. And like, there's a lot around there that you, I know when you place someone at a company, you're helping that, you're not just like dropping someone in and piecing out. Like there's a lot that you do to make that hire work, you know, and it's that kind of stuff that I think would add value to this program. And the last thing I'll say again, this program is meant for that frontline sales leader to say, to just first of all, raise awareness that, hey, you might not even know you're in this trap, right? And like, and it may be serving you now and that's great, but if it's not, or maybe it won't in the future, here's what else you can do. Here's how you can start to, and the bottom line of this whole thing is we have to develop human intelligence. We artificial intelligence is now a legitimate business tool. So forget about all the logic and computation. That's all the machines can do that better than us. So we have to lean into creativity. We have to lean into vision. We have to lean into empathy and, you know, all the stuff that I know resonates with you for sure.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking about this and it's like, did you ever read growing up the Choose Your Own Adventure books?
Oh, I loved them. Yeah, it's big inspiration for this.
Same. Oh, and listen to how you just responded. It's a big inspiration for this. So if I'm you, have fun with that. If that was a real inspiration for this, I would say we're like a choose your own adventure book. You know, the way that we think about learning is it's not one sized. There are lots of different drivers, like a fear, like a this, like a that. And the last thing that I want to do is show up here and just talk at you, assuming that everything that I can do is what you need. And our job is to meet you where you are to help you be the best version of yourself with the way that your team learns, with the way that they consume information in that learning process. And there are lots of things. And I could talk to you about fancy, clinical, research-backed terms. And trust me, I've got
decks. Yeah.
But yeah. Like any good choose your own adventure book, you can go wherever you need to go and I'm your guide.
Yeah.
See how that's I know when I'm being able to help you because you stop and you start writing it down because you're like, ooh, that clicks. That's storytelling, my friend. Notice how I don't have any visual. I'm just having a discussion and you felt like I saw you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, meta lesson there for sure. For sure.
And yeah. Here's the thing for anybody listening, like they're probably thinking like, gosh, she's brutal. No, this is the biggest form of care that I can give. And I would go to the mat and back up again and down and back up to help this fella. And the thing is, when we can have conversations like this with our buyers, regardless of products or services, regardless of if you are in high velocity SMB transactional sales in a PLG forward motion, you've got to learn how to do this because ultimately people want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be understood. They want to be valued and they want to be validated. And that validation part, like I did all of those things in 1 second when I was like, and I didn't even know, look, this isn't a gotcha. This isn't like Andrew and I planned this. This is a very real discussion. Right. I had no idea that you read Choose Your Own Adventure, but it started sounding like that to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, did you read that? And you're like, yes. And now you feel, and notice how I wasn't like, so when I was a child, I was well-read. I read Judy Blume. I read, I didn't have to tell you how smart I was or that I read. It was me meeting you where you were to say, did you ever read those books? And you're like, yeah, totally. That's what we're, and then you said it. Like, I couldn't have planned it any better than what it was. Then you said, that's like a big backdrop for this for us. Use it. Like that is like high octane fuel. That's going to be that connective tissue. That's your invitation, my friend, right there.
Yeah.
Your invitation.
Yeah. No, and you know, this is crazy because you don't know this either. And it's like we planned it, but the most tangible object that's coming out of this right now is a mini email course. It's the world of online courses. I used to be in a couple of years ago. Email-based courses is a big thing. In fact, Nate Nasrallah has one as well. For anybody who hasn't checked it out, does it so well. Just like 10 email, right? 10 emails delivered every 2 days, whatever it is. And it takes you on a journey. And if you commit to it, it's literally transformational. And so we built one of those and it's in alpha testing now. It's going to come out on August 1st. And it's choose your own adventure. And so here, Amy, this is the craziest part about this. You said learning is not one size fits all. Our job is to meet you where you are. That is literally the frame of mind that I'm in writing this. And it is the first writing project probably in 2 years since when I ran a course for a few hundred entrepreneurs that I have been there with someone instead of talking at them. Like we talked about earlier, all my essays in the last like year or two have been intellectual talking at people. And it's the most fun I've had in a writing project. And it's been the last like 2 weeks and I'm finally done, but I'm learning as well. right? Like all those things on that map I'm learning about, like it's great. And that, it got me back in touch with like why I started this business and why I do this. So I just, you know, I love learning and I love, yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Yeah, I know you love learning.
I'm just bringing people along. Yeah. Bringing people along with me.
Which, like, that is your calling. And funny how you have a business doing this. So like, that's table stakes, right? Like that is DNA. That's going to come through because you believe. And by the way, you do love learning. I know this. And that oozes through your pores. You don't have to tell me that. I already see it. And not me, but like, you know, the other person on the receiving end.
Right.
That's your why. Well, the thing is, look at it this way. All the learning as you're learning along the way and all that, that's like you doing a research paper, right? You're learning, you're figuring this stuff out.
Yeah.
And then imagine that you now are the expert in this. And now you're the professor to teach a third grade class on the concept, and you have to keep them off of their devices and engaged. Mm. You have about 2 seconds to get their attention. So go from you being the student yourself and researching and, you know, getting, mastering this, which you have and you are, and you will continue to do. All of us do that when we care about our craft. You're never done learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then translate that to, okay, now you have to teach this to people that aren't thinking about it the way that you do and aren't going to go through the curriculum that you are. That's what your service is, to translate that in a way that helps them. But imagine that it's day one of class and you've got a bunch of skeptical students that's like, who's this professor? Yeah. And you have that amount of time. Notice how most of the classes that I've ever attended on the very first day didn't give me heavy curriculum to show me. We talked about it.
Yeah.
And then that builds. Your curriculum is part of the service you provide. You don't have to lead with that foot.
Yeah. 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 It's almost like that, as you were saying, that the starting point is like, hey, so you know what's cool about this? You know, and then you dive into it, right? And like, and that what you say next is entirely dependent on who you're talking to.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
All right. You know what got my wheels turning? And I'm wondering if it gets your wheels turning too, kind of like what I did. I love Choose Your Own Adventure when I grew up. Do you know about those books? Yes. Okay. Boom. I've got your attention. Like it's nobody's business.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. And you know, I like to use the following language. I suspect, I wonder if, would you agree? Are you thinking about the same stuff? Now you know what adventure you're going to go down because you're getting validation from your suspicions, because you're coming to the party well-prepared and organized in your thought with your competency. So when you're asking a question like, I suspect, you don't have to tell them that you know what you're doing, because you know what you're doing because it's coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, shit. This has been fantastic. Cause what I've gotten from this is validation, you know, in a big way. Like I think and this is the best part about talking to you. I've got validation that I feel like I'm on the right track, but I also have a shitload of homework to do, which is great. And I love that. Like I'm going to go down, you're giving me these six things. I think I've hit one of them. I'm going down five rabbit holes right after this recording and, you know, going to continue to build that out. And you said this, and I'm so glad you said this. You don't stop learning. Even if you know everything it seems like there is to know about your craft, you don't stop learning. And you get it. I get it. Like, I think most of the people listen and get it. It's sort of the key that unlocks everything.
2 points to that, right? So one, the questions that we ask do two things. They make us smarter, right? We understand more. And they also exercise our knowledge. When you're asking really meaty, juicy questions, you know what you're doing, right? That's going to come through. The other thing is, nobody has done learning, right? And if you were to put me on the hot seat for how I'm thinking about my podcast, the roles would be reversed. I haven't launched yet, and I'm thinking about all these things, and you're in the same book as I am, just a few chapters ahead, and that's okay. Yeah. And you're helping me figure out what adventure I'm going to choose, and that's okay. Yeah. But I'll give you a perfect example. Earlier today, I had a paid speaking engagement, and I was it was a very different kind of thing than any other speaking engagement that I do, where when I went into it, it was delivered to me like it was my thing. They wanted me to lead it. And there would be a person that I know very well and adore and respect that would be there to introduce me and wrap it up. But it was really my thing to run. So I planned on that, right? And all of a sudden, it was not that at all. It was, I was sharing some concepts. I was making it interactive. And he was sharing his concepts. And we did a recap afterwards. And I said, well, I wasn't anticipating it. I didn't plan on it. We rolled with it really well. And we got really great feedback of that dynamic where it was structured, but it was still conversational and we could go off script. We met people where they were.
Yeah.
So grateful that you were part of this, because here's why. On my concepts that mastered that I can speak to with my hands tied behind my back and and blindfolded, you gave me different perspective from your point of view, and you're going to teach me something new. And isn't that a gift? Yeah. None of us are ever done learning or iterating or tinkering, especially when it's your calling and you care about what you're doing. And I know that this is your calling and you care a whole lot about what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took the hot seat like a champ.
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, it's true. It's an honor. It really is. Like, it sounds trite to say that, but it really is. I respect you so much. Like I said at the beginning of the show, and I also value your time so much. I'm conscious that we're actually like over an hour of this conversation, and we could go on for another couple of hours here. That feels like a really good place to kind of bring this one to an end. You said it. We never stop learning, and that's like the whole essence of this whole thing. That conversation that you just had with that person, I feel like mirrors the one we've just had. And I hope that some people listening are also kind of resonating and picking up those things that, like, we didn't plan this. We didn't structure anything around it. There was no, like, beginning, middle, end. But I think there feels like a completeness to it. It just feels like complete and muscular and that's pretty special.
I agree. This is about as off script as one could go.
Totally.
And, you used the terminology of like, I feel honored. Well, I feel the same way. It's real hard to ask somebody to come and point out every wart on your baby when you think your baby is perfect. It's hard. It's vulnerable. Yeah. Real. It's like, this is as honest of a discussion that I could ever have with anybody out loud about something in the wild, because that's what this was. We were in the wild. Yeah. And it's a testament to who you are as a person, and that your quest for knowledge and being your best version and being on that journey to continue to learn, that you are committed to that. It's one thing for you and I to talk behind the scenes, it's another thing to hit record. And we didn't even know where we were going to go with this. I don't even think we knew. Like, you're like, you're going to put me in the hot seat. I'm like, I don't even know what that looks like, but sure, let's do it.
Let's try. Yeah.
And it does feel like a good completion moment. And the honor is mine, because you inspire me. And as I'm paying my heart, I've learned these lessons the hard way. And it's very easy for me to share it, because I've been in sales for 30 years and thinking about communicating, connecting with people in effective ways. But it doesn't mean that if you were to flip the script, that there's other stuff. And even within the stuff that I was sharing with you, it gets me thinking about stuff like, oh, that's a good reminder. I need to think about that for this new thing. That's the power of conversation. So the honor has been all mine. And I just, like, just when I think I couldn't adore you anymore, like, I just, you're just a good one, Andrew. And I really appreciate you.
Well, it's entirely mutual, Amy. I love you. I love talking to you. I love everything. I love the way you think. I love the way you challenge me and push me. And so please don't ever stop pointing out the warts, because that's what makes me better. And my friend, I'm excited for your podcast. You're going to get to have these conversations with the guests that you want to have and get to share all of that experience and learn while you're doing it as well. So, you know, best of luck with that.
Thank you. I will need every ounce of luck, and I will need you to pick me up off the floor when I mess up or when I don't understand what I'm doing, or I have blind spots, or any of the above. So this is the thing about real rooted relationships, is you can have this kind of discussion in a very safe way, in the spirit of being helpful while having a hard conversation at the same time. And if that's the backdrop for anything that I try to do, it's that. And so thank you.
Well, thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
And that's a wrap for season one, everyone.
Woo, we made it.
See you on the flip side.
Hello, hello. I hope you enjoyed that episode. It's Andrew again with a quick message. If you'd like to support the show, the best way to do that is to leave us ratings and reviews where you listened. If you're on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe buttons and feel free to leave a comment. We love hearing from our listeners and viewers. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please take the time to give us a rating and leave a review. Once again, we love hearing from our loyal listeners. If you're listening to this on Spotify, please hit the follow button to make sure that you don't miss new episodes as they come out. Thank you for listening.